Well, good morning again, church. It is great to be here with you. This wonderful reason for us to gather, right? Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, a day that proclaims to us all that Jesus is who he says he was, that he is the Son of God, that he defeated death and has the power to cancel our sins. And that is good news if we are willing to hear it. But you know, not everybody is willing or ready or able to hear for a variety of number of reasons. And this morning, I'd like to talk about some of those reasons why Easter truly does matter to us all. And the first one is this: Easter brings a second chance to those who have failed. Easter brings a second chance to those who have failed. Now, let's talk about Peter. You know, the Apostle Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends. And while there were 12 disciples, there was an inner group. There was an inner circle made up of John and James and Peter. You know, Peter, he's that big, brash disciple, the one who got out of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Peter was the one who was with Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, Peter is that one who got that cool nickname from Jesus, right? He was the Rock before Dwayne Johnson was the Rock. What a cool nickname. You know, Peter, I'm going to call you the Rock. This is the same guy who fell asleep rather than praying for Jesus. You know, Peter is the one who boldly proclaimed, you know, Jesus, if you go to prison, I'm going to go to prison with you. Jesus, if you go to death, I'm going to go to death with you. And Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times. I mean, Peter literally denied Jesus. And it was the biggest mistake of his life. Following the crucifixion and burial of Jesus, Peter was nowhere to be found, gone like the wind. And some of the disciples, some of the followers of Jesus, went out to the tomb early Sunday morning to anoint Jesus' body. They found the tomb was empty and that the stone had been rolled away. And as these women entered into the tomb, this is what Scripture records. It says, when they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going to go out ahead of you to Galilee. And you will see him there just as he told you before he died. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, Peter did what he never thought was possible. He denied his Lord and he denied his friend. Scripture says that after Peter denied knowing Jesus, that he wept and that he ran away. Now, we may not have all done what Peter did, but we've all failed. We've all fallen short somehow. You know, we don't live up to our family's expectations. We don't live up to society's expectations. We don't even live up to our own expectations. And to this, Easter is a beacon of hope. It is a promise of redemption, a reminder that our past does not define us. Now, did you hear it in the scripture that we just read? You know, go and tell his disciples, including Peter. Yeah. Go and tell Matthew and John and Nathaniel, but be sure to tell Peter, because Peter needs to hear this. Peter needs to know that he is not forgotten. Peter needs to know he has not been written off, that he has not gotten too far. Easter says to everyone that has failed, that has messed up, that has fallen short, that you are not forgotten. You know, if you flash forward in Peter's life a number of years, you read this about him in Acts chapter 4. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You know, Peter endured beatings and arrests and was ultimately crucified upside down because his Savior gave him a second chance. And if you think you have somehow failed God, that you have gone too far, that God would not be able to reach out to you, you're wrong. God is reaching out to you and is willing to give you that second, third, fourth, whatever chance it is, if you are simply willing to receive it. You decide that you are not going to live on based upon your past failures, but rather you choose to live on God's vision for your future. Because Easter brings a second chance to those who have failed. Now, the second reason Easter matters is that Easter brings faith to the skeptics. Easter brings faith to the skeptics. Now, who here has ever heard the term doubting Thomas before? Right, more than a few. That nickname comes from John chapter 20, and it refers to how Thomas, one of the 12 disciples, said this to his fellow disciples who had seen Jesus alive. I can see Thomas, you know, his hands are on his hips. He's being very direct. He says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I mean, that's bold. That's brash. I mean, Thomas is the doubter. But I think a lot of us can relate to those types of questions. And we all know, you know, growing up in classes of some sort, there's always that person who is willing to ask the questions that nobody else is giving voice to. You know, they're quick to raise their hand, and everybody's like, shh, we want this class to be over. Stop asking questions. Now, there's nothing wrong with having doubts or questions as long as we don't allow them to become a barrier that keeps us from God. You know, I've heard one too many times someone say that I'm not a Christian. I don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. That's why I don't go. Well, you know what? That could be said of anything. You could say that about sports. You know, I don't go to the Steelers games because it's filled with fair weather fans. Or you could say, I don't go to the Browns games. Well, because they're the Browns, and, you know, who wants to go to a Browns game? Or you could say this about going to the gym. I don't go to the gym because there's a bunch of people who are out of shape there. Like, it's ridiculous. The church is not a museum for the saints. It is a hospital for the sinners. And Jesus never said, follow my followers. He said, follow me. And if you have questions about God, that's okay. Bring your questions to God. I found that as I have walked life with him, he's answered many of the questions I've asked. In the story of Thomas's life, it doesn't end with his questions. It ends with Jesus simply showing up. Continuing in John 20, it says, a week later, his disciples were in a house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And although scripture doesn't record it, I'm sure Jesus is like, turns right to Thomas. And he says, Thomas, come here. Put your finger right here. Put your finger in my hands, Thomas. Thomas, come here. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting, Thomas, and believe. And Thomas simply cried out, my Lord and my God. Because when Jesus shows up, he is bigger than the questions that we ask. And I love that nowhere in Scripture can it be found that Thomas takes up Jesus' offer to touch his hands or his side. Thomas didn't need the answers to his questions. What he needed was Jesus. And so if you've come this morning with questions, that's okay. Because knowing Jesus isn't based upon how much we know. It's based upon who we know. Bring your questions. Come near to Jesus, and he will come near to you. Because Easter brings faith to the skeptics. And then reason number three, Easter brings healing to the hurting. You know, later in that day, later Easter day, two followers of Jesus were leaving Jerusalem and heading to a village called Emmaus. These two guys missed everything, right? They were probably like my dad saying, hey, we've got an early start time in the morning. Let's all set our alarms quick. We got to get out of town as quickly as possible. Got to beat the rush. Well, they got out of town so quick that they missed everything. They missed out on hearing about the empty tomb. They missed out on seeing Jesus. And so as they're walking out of Jerusalem, right, they're discouraged and they're depressed and they're running away. The person that they thought was the Messiah, the one that was going to come and rescue them, was dead. I mean, Jesus was as dead as their hopes and dreams. Well, as they walk to Emmaus, Jesus shows up. And for whatever reason, they can't see him as he is. And so he walks with them and he listens to their hurts. He listens to what's going on in their lives. And then he points them back to Scripture. You can almost hear him say, you know, don't look at your circumstances. Look to God's word. And our Scripture picks up with the three of them around the table. And says, when he was at the table with them, when Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and then he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? When they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. Jesus, the Lord, is risen and has appeared to Simon. And the two told what had happened to them along the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Now, I got a question for you, and it's going to seem like, wow, where did this come from? But just stick with me. Has anybody ever used Febreze in their house? Any Febreze users? I really like the cranberry scent. You know, you get around the holidays, you get the cranberry Febreze. Febreze, if you don't know what it is, Febreze is an air freshener that claims to eliminate odors. Being the curious kind of person that I am, I decided I'm going to find out, does it really eliminate odors? Well, according to the science behind Febreze, the active ingredient is actually shaped like a donut. Its molecular structure, whatever it is shaped like a donut. And what happens is that the bad smell gets caught in the donut hole. And so it's surrounded by the good smell so that our noses can't get the bad smell. Now, the bad smell is still there. It's just simply wrapped by the good smell. And I think we do this all the time. Right, we try to mask our bad stuff. We mask our pains. We mask our discouragements. We mask our illnesses. I mean, you name it. We mask it with all sorts of acts and activity, just trying to get away from what bothers us. But just like Febreze, right, that bad stuff is still there. And we will try it all. We'll try relationships. We try alcohol. We try drugs. We'll even try church activities just to get rid of the stench of what is truly affecting us. Now, pain is a prison that we get trapped in. In hopelessness and despair and anger, right? We want out. We don't want to deal with this stuff, but all we can do in our power is Febreze it. But this isn't God's plan, right? God's desire is for you to come to him to be free and to live into the victory that Jesus bought for you. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is at the synagogue, and he reads scripture. They unroll the scroll, and it's from a passage in Isaiah, and it says that the coming Messiah, that Jesus would set the prisoners free. I mean, what would it look like for you to bring your stuff to God rather than to Facebook? What would it look like for you to accept, to not try to mask it by surrounding it with a bunch of stuff that isn't going to do anything? It's just going to leave the bad smell there and be washed by the blood of the Lamb of God. Because if we will allow it, Easter brings healing to the hurting. Friends, this is what Easter invites us to believe, that each and every one of us is invited to receive the payment for our sins. And that payment gives us a second chance. That payment gives us faith. That payment gives us healing. And all we have to do is to simply say to Jesus, "Jesus, I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Make me the kind of person you want me to be. Transform me into your image. Help me to overcome my sin. Jesus, I trust in you." You know, whatever your reason is for being here today, I pray that when you leave this space, what you will know is that God loves you. God loves you so very much that he's reaching out from the perfectness of heaven in the person of Jesus Christ. All of your sins, all of your stuff, paid for. Because you are precious in his sight. And so come to Jesus. Come to Jesus this Easter. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your word for us today. Lord, we pray that our eyes would truly be open to what you are saying to us. Jesus, free us so that we might see you. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.